May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our meditation this morning draws from all three readings, but especially these words from the gospel. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is our text. You may be seated. As we heard on Christmas Eve, at the announcement of Jesus' birth, the angels said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And this morning we hear from the Heavenly Father, who says to the Son, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Father is confirming the words of the angels that baby born to Mary in Bethlehem and laid in a manger is the one who stands before them now, having been baptized by John. This man, Jesus, this is the Savior. This is the man. The Father is well pleased with the Son, who will dutifully fulfill all the things the Father has for him to do. Salvation for all people. The Son was appointed to this task before the foundation of the world, before Adam and Eve ever ate from the tree. The Son would be the Savior. And now at his baptism in the Jordan, this reality is made known to the world. For unto you is born a Savior. Christ Jesus was born for you. And he is baptized for you. What the Father says to the Son at his baptism, these words are also for you, for your benefit. The season of Epiphany began on Thursday, January 6th, with the Feast of Epiphany, the day we remember the wise men coming to Bethlehem, bringing their gifts to Jesus, and worshiping him as the first Gentiles to do so. On this first Sunday of the Epiphany season, we remember Jesus' baptism by John. He begins his earthly ministry. His public ministry begins here at his baptism. This is the first revealing of who this man really is. He is Christ the Lord. He is the chosen one. And he will continue to reveal himself to the people. He will reveal his divine power through his miracles. He will reveal his divine wisdom through his words. He will reveal his divine love from the cross. But Jesus' baptism is more than just a beginning, the beginning of his revealing something to the world. It is his revealing something to you, personally, here and now. Because Jesus is the Savior of the world, he is your Savior. All that Jesus does for you. But how can this be? When one contemplates the vastness of the universe and realizes that the God who created such a universe must be even more vast than the universe itself, it can make one feel a little bit small, a little bit insignificant. What could such a God want to do with me? How could such a God know an ordinary person like me? When one contemplates the condition of one's own heart and is painfully aware of the evil that dwells therein, it can make one shrink away in shame, attempting to hide from God. I, a poor, miserable sinner, cannot stand before an omniscient, omnipotent, holy God based on my own righteousness. And so it is that we cannot come to God. Instead, he graciously comes to us. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. He comes to rescue us from our hopeless condition. In repentance and faith, he bids us come to him. And those who have received by the power of the Holy Spirit faith in the promises of God, he does indeed know us. He does indeed know you. As we read in Scripture, Jesus wasn't the only one to be baptized in the Jordan by John. Many people came to John out there in the wilderness to hear his preaching and his teaching, to receive his baptism of repentance. Yet none of the baptisms that John performed were quite like this one. What must initially have looked like nothing out of the ordinary turned out to be quite extraordinary. This was not really a baptism of repentance. Jesus had nothing to repent of. He was sinless. Rather, this is more of an anointing. The anointing of a king. The anointing of a prophet. The anointing of the great and final high priest. That's what it has to do with you, because Jesus is your king. He is your prophet. He is your high priest. And he is your sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. He is baptized along with all the ordinary people for your sake and for mine. And that's sort of Jesus' modus operandi, if you will. He associates with the lowly. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. He talks to ordinary people on the side of the road. He dies the death of an ordinary criminal with two ordinary criminals crucified next to him. He never shies away from his humanity. He doesn't dismiss the ordinary. He comes as God in human form so that he may bring us humans back into fellowship with God. In all of these things, he is well-pleasing to his Father. In his humanness, Jesus reconnects us to the divine. Even though so much of what he does seems somewhat ordinary, including his baptism in the Jordan. For in his baptism, Jesus identifies with us. In his baptism, and through your baptism, your sin is placed on Jesus. The filth that was yours becomes his. The righteousness that is his becomes yours. As St. Paul writes, you are baptized into Jesus' death. That is, at your baptism, Jesus' victory over sin on the cross becomes your victory over sin. As Jesus was raised from the dead, so in your baptism, you are raised from the dead. Every good gift that the Father gives to the Son gives to you. Jesus stands in the Jordan River as the representative of all humanity, and so the Father's words to the Son at his baptism become the Father's words to you via your baptism. The Lord says to you, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased. The Father is well pleased with the Son, and thereby the Father is well pleased with you. You who are joined to the Son in baptism. Likewise, the words of Isaiah from our Old Testament reading are also applied to you. Isaiah writes to you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since Jesus is the Savior, you are saved. Since the Father is pleased with the Son, he's pleased with you. What the world says about you no longer matters. You are beloved. When the world rages against you over your insistence that good is good and evil is evil, know that the Father is well pleased with you. When the devil accuses you, when your own sin consumes you, repent. Know that the Father forgives you. As Jesus' public ministry began at his baptism, so your life as a Christian began at yours. Jesus proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of God, repentance and forgiveness of sins in him alone. And so throughout his ministry, this is the truth that Jesus proclaims. And so we, the church, proclaim the same truth. You in your lives confess and proclaim that truth. As John the Baptist was put in prison for speaking the truth, and as Jesus was executed for preaching the truth, so the church suffers for preaching the truth. And so you personally may suffer simply because the Father has called you by name, simply because you bear the name of Christian. This is simply the Christian life. This is the life of the baptized. The world hates you. The Father loves you. The world is displeased with you. The Father is pleased with you. That's all that really matters. This world will pass away soon, or after all of us are gone, I don't know. But the Lord's word will never pass away. And his word to his beloved, his word to you is, with you I am well pleased. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.